But wrestling with the questions has allowed me space for me to work through the emotions, the thoughts, the processing. All of that comes through questioning, doing some journaling, and kind of making my way through that challenge.
This is Choose to Be Curious, a show all about curiosity. We talk about research and theory, but mostly it's conversations about how curiosity shows up in work and life. I'm your host, Lynn Borton. Welcome. Come, choose to be curious with us. The other day, I spent a long time scrolling through the curated questions website, digital page after digital page of thoughtful queries for almost every imaginable context. This wasn't the first time I'd visited those pages, but it had been a while. This time, my attention settled on a question from Buddha. What is the appropriate behavior for a man or a woman in the midst of this world where each person is clinging to his piece of debris? What's the proper salutation between people as they pass each other in the flood? A good question will make you stop, often mid-step, and reconsider your path. Am I doing what I mean to be doing as we pass each other in this flood? Do you have go-to questions that get you through the day, over a hump, around a bend? I have lots of them, I suppose, and I'm always interested to hear about others. So imagine my delight when Ken Woodward, the man behind curated questions, reached out and invited me to join him for a conversation on his podcast. I said, absolutely, I'll join you if you'll join me. We've had that first lovely conversation link on my website, but now it's my turn to do the asking. What got him going on questions? What has he learned? Why does any of it matter? Folks in the Washington area may know Ken Woodward as the middle-aged white guy who, beginning the weekend after George Floyd's murder, walked every street and alley in D.C. wearing a sandwich board emblazoned Black and Brown Lives Matter. His two-year journey, all 2,085 miles of it, was its own form of question, redolent of Buddha. What's the proper salutation between people as they pass each other in this flood? A reminder that our actions are interrogative as much as declarative, that they are ways we explore, inquire, query. So, as one wondering wanderer to another, I am delighted to have Ken Woodward with me today. So, welcome, Ken.
Thank you, Lynn. It is truly a pleasure to be here.
Likewise. Yes. Likewise. You know, I have to confess, I talk to people all the time, but I actually was feeling a little intimidated by talking to a guy who so carefully curates questions. It's like, where does one begin? So I'm going to start with, what do you think is a question?
This is not fair, I guess, to punt and just go to a synonym and say inquiry. To me, it's born out of a curiosity, but it's something I don't know. And so what are the words that I can use to get to the heart of what that curiosity is? Mm-hmm. I was working on some questions for in Black History Month celebration that we're having at work. And I was looking at the theme of what the celebration was and thinking of the speaker panel and really trying to go beyond what is just a surface question that someone might ask, but instead to say, how can I stack this up? Mm. How can I ask a meaningful question that gets to who the individual is, what their experience is, and how it's related all in one that invites a story?
Yeah.
Because if I get a yes or no answer, okay, I can ask Google for that. But if I can ask a question that gives the hearer the opportunity to tell the story, I get a more comprehensive answer.
I really like that. I started to think about this question again once we connected. And I thought, well, what do I think a question is? Particularly as I was looking at your curated questions. What do you, Lynn? How would you define it? I ask this about curiosity all the time. People ask me. And I thought, well, what's my working idea of what a question is? And I came up with this idea that there are thoughts seeking relationships with other thoughts. They're like the personal ads of language. Hmm. And so what you're saying in terms of them being an on-ramp for people to do something, to engage in some way. And you actually talk about that on your website, don't you? Engaging the questioning community or the curious community. I mean, it's like, yes, yes. So then what makes a good question or what makes a powerful question?
Part of it, I think, is the intention in that you can ask the basic question of how are you? And that can really be a meaningless question, but placed in the right moment with the right heart posture, it can mean a remarkably deep inquiry into someone's soul. So that to me is kind of how I would define that.
So maybe that begins to get at the question I was having as I thought about this is, well, would we think of all questions as curious?
I guess that's the fun thing about questions is that they can come from such a variety of places, and oftentimes they're statements or and the like. So while we assume that it always ends with a question mark, we always assume that it has a particular format, it may not. So I'm unwilling to say it always has to be this way or that way, and more willing to give it space to breathe and to move around a little bit.
I like
be a little bit more fluid.
I like that. I like the idea of fluidity. So what makes a question worthy of curation?
To me, it's something that just does go deeper. Mm-hmm. In framing a question that is a bit more complex, because to that common question of how are you, what's your favorite color? I mean, if I ask somebody what is their favorite color, what is my intention in asking that? It's almost a throwaway question, because what do I do with that?
Yeah.
I'd rather know what was the backstory behind how you came to your favorite color. What does your favorite color remind you of? Right, let's get deeper than just that surface level. So what is my intention in asking a question? And that's part of what my thought is and how you curate it. And this can be your own questions, is to say, what is that intention behind it? How can I get to understand the other person and what I'm trying to accomplish?
So I think you just gave great first date advice. You know, the trope of people wanting to get to know one another, and they ask silly things like, what's your favorite color? And, you know, this kind of thing. But going to that next level of what does that color make you think of? Tell me a story about that color. My favorite number is 19. Why is that? Because my dying first grade teacher, that was the winning number that I got on a choose a number contest, right? I mean, it's been my favorite number since I was 6. But you just asked me my favorite number. It doesn't get you very far, does it?
Right. And we all have meaning and purpose behind our choices. And that is exciting. That is interesting.
Right. So what got you interested in questions? I mean, what got you interested in backstory?
Well, what prompted the Curated Questions website is that I kept hearing all these successful people say some form of, if you want to be successful, if you want to change your circumstances or something of that nature, you have to ask yourself better questions.
Uh-huh.
And then my response to the podcast, the book, or whatever was, what are those questions? Tell me what the magic is, and then I can go work with that.
Yeah.
But tell me what those are. And most often, that kind of a statement would be made. And then maybe there would be one question that would be offered. And I'm like, I'm looking for all of them. What are they?
Yeah.
And so in this personal search to understand what these questions are, that started the documentation. So now the website became a repository that I could just go drop questions as I came across them in conversation, podcast, whatever. And anytime that I would hear somebody say a question that was outside of just the norm, I would jot it down and then drop it in, and I would give the attribution and the rest. But then I was also thinking about how we always go to the business leader and hear what they are saying. But the reality is the stay-at-home mom raising three kids, or the person on the street, or someone in some different country, they are wrestling with different questions and they have a different perspective on the world, that if we give space for those questions to be shared, then there's a very good chance that that executive that we have been listening to, those questions would be helpful for that individual as well. Mm-hmm. So this is a way of democratizing the body of questions that are out there and how people see the world. And so if we engage with them, it may give us a different perspective that we've had, mm-hmm. and open up our eyes a bit more to the world around mm-hmm. us.
I will say it's one of the things that I appreciated as I was looking through it, that you span centuries. You have questions that go way back. You have geographic diversity in terms of the origins and the home places of the questioners. You know, just collecting them isn't really enough, right? It's sort of a lending library. I mean, I assume that what you're hoping is that people will come and do what I did, which is sort of sift through it and go, what of these questions do I need right now? Which of these questions finally crystallizes something I've been trying to figure out how to ask myself? I mean, is that what you hope people will do with it?
So the little secret about this whole curated questions thing is that the work of questions is accomplished when you are wrestling with them and answering them. So the benefit that you get from them, let's say that it's 100 hours worth of work. All I'm doing is I'm giving you 10 seconds of that 100 hours of work. So while I may get credit, whatever credit there is to be given for providing it, it's all of that work, all of the internal work. So questions radically changed my life in many different ways and different pivot points. And so hearing that question, right, what does it look like to be a modern day freedom writer? That's an easy question to toss out. Now, the application of that right. is very deep, very personal. There's very much intention that goes behind it. So, okay, great. Somebody gets the credit for putting that question out there, but the heavy lift comes from the application and wrestling with those answers. And in some cases, you're not going to get the answers for decades. So staying with it, that's where the hard work is.
Yeah. You're listening to Choose to Be Curious. I'm your host, Lynn Borton, and I'm joined today by Ken Woodward. We're exploring why good questions matter.
So yes, all I'm doing is I'm providing the seed or the kernel for that change to come about in your life, whatever that may be, in whatever area. So I am serving it up as an offering to say, this has had a remarkable influence on my life. And I give you the same opportunity to engage in whatever path your life is and wherever you're going.
Would you share with us one of those remarkable inflection points from your own life where a question has really made that kind of a difference for you?
That example that I gave of what does it look like to be a modern day freedom writer, that was a major influence as to why I started walking the streets. Now, I say that, but also the caveat, I was one, from my background, that always adhered to the rules. I would never, ever have been anything considered an activist. I'm not going to break any rules. I'm going to keep my head down, and I want everybody to like me. But wrestling with that question, that was the catalyst that prompted me. Now, what I'm also not going to do is to say that the work that I did with walking through the streets or that project, I do not equate that now with the work that the Freedom Writers did, because there is a difference. Now, where I would also kind of say that effect on me of that question dropped off was after about walk five or six, I discovered, oh yeah, yeah, like literally nobody's going to kill me, or the odds are very low that anybody's going to kill mm-hmm. me. Whereas the Freedom mm-hmm. Riders, that was very, very,
very
much.
Real. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. But the fear that I had, because I would never be one of those people that would buck the system, that was very much present, I can tell you, on that first day. That was a lot of fear that I had going out there. And then it kind of decreased over the following days. So, yeah, that was the question that really mattered to me.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you for sharing that.
Jumping back in and doing this website or relaunching the website was kind of answering the question, what is next? What is my contribution? What is my purpose? Those kinds of questions and wrestling with them, how does that get expressed into the world? This is one of those things where I think what I have to offer the world is my particular background, my particular story, and offering up the questions and being willing to engage people on this.
I would say yes, and I think offering the questions, being willing to engage on the topic, and leading by example. I mean, I think that's actually a really important part of what you're doing. It's one thing, I mean, you know, anybody can go around and collect like brainy quotes or whatever, you know, it's interesting, thought-provoking ideas. But as you say, they're only meaningful if you do something with them, if you wrestle with them. They're sort of potential energy and not kinetic energy until they're engaged in some way. So I feel like you get credit for that as well. I really do.
Thank you. So one of the things that I've encountered over the last several years is that pretty much all of my primary identities have been shaken, shaken to the core. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting tired of that, but I know that that's also growth. And I'm like, come on, can I at least get to some point on some particular topic that I can look back at the first half century of my life that I was actually right on? Uh-huh. And it just kind of seems that different things keep getting shaken. And that, like, another example is that I found out a year ago that I had an older sister. So she's 5 years my senior. Right. So, you know, I had an identity of what my family is like, what my dad's history is like. Great guy, but he also kept this quiet and he abdicated his role and all the rest of this. And I got ripped off. My sister got ripped off a half a century of life together. And so wrestling with these questions allows me to think through, how am I going to care for, how am I going to engage with the sister that I never knew that I had? And what am I going to do with that circumstance? And the answer is embrace her wholeheartedly and celebrate the life that we have together going forward. But I also can't overlook any of the things, you know, love my dad. He passed away in 2010. But I also have to hold him accountable to that story as well as being a great dad and all the other aspects of his identity. But wrestling with the questions has allowed me space for me to work through the emotions, the thoughts, the processing. All of that comes through questioning, doing some journaling, and kind of making my way through that challenge.
Yeah. I mean, I think what you're speaking to is that questions, curiosity, these are things that give life texture. They give it depth, but they can also make it, like, it can make things spiky and rough and yes. rocky. And things that were once smooth, you suddenly discover, holy cow, there's like a bed of rocks under that smooth water. This is not the surface that I thought life was. Yeah, but that knowledge is better, right?
Yeah, I would rather, I have gone through a lot of, you know, first world problems, but I have gone through a lot of pain in deconstructing and reconstructing identities. And that has been brutally painful, like lots of pain. And yet I wouldn't trade that for anything, and because I'm such the better person for having now understood. I've got a far better understanding of humanity. I don't have it all down, but far better understanding and appreciation. And so now I can sit with folks that have an entirely different background, and I'm less likely to judge them, less likely to be critical, and more likely to embrace them for who they are. And we may do things, or they may do things that irritate or whatever, or I would do it differently, but I'm just like, okay, this is them. Mm-hmm. And they have every right to be who they are. And so I can just love them and enjoy spending time with them, and, or in a work setting, just appreciate them for who they are and the talents that they bring. It's different than me. And that's good.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a master of all of these things. And, you know, we need this collective to go forward and succeed and build and do whatever we're going to do. The richness comes out in those differences. So it's okay. It's, to me, I think it's great to identify what those differences are and celebrate them. I don't need to be scared of them. Let's celebrate them.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you familiar with the miracle question? I'm realizing I didn't go looking for it.
No.
I didn't. Okay.
Miracle question.
So,
all right.
All right. So this is totally up your alley, but I think it's, I love this. This comes out of the work of Linda Metcalf, who is it with the Solution Focused Institute in Texas. And she poses this question in marriage counseling and this kind of thing, you know, like the world is a mess. It's not clear how you're going to get out of this. And the miracle question is, suppose tonight, while you slept, a miracle occurred. When you awake tomorrow, what would be some of the things that you would notice that would tell you life had suddenly gotten better? And I want to put this in the context of your hopes and dreams for curating questions and getting people to think about this. If tomorrow you woke up and everybody had a level of realization that you've had about the power of questions, what would you notice that would tell you that that had happened?
People would be paying attention to one another and pausing to really listen.
Yeah.
Yeah, at the meta level, I really appreciate that question, right? That is exactly the power of a question. A thought out question really allows you to go, okay, let me think about this. Let me figure this out. And that's, yeah. So I appreciate that. And I need to jot that one down and give attribution on it.
I'll send it to you. I got first introduced to this by a colleague, and I use it with some regularity, because often we hope for this sort of vague thing, or we work towards something we believe in. And I find it really useful to stop and think about, like, well, what would it look like if that was all suddenly true? How would I know? And does that tell me something about how I might invest my time now to move more effectively in that direction? But I also like it because it allows us to sit with the idea that the things that we fervently hope for and dream about and wish for really can happen, and that they'll happen because people are doing things. And I guess that's where I come back around in terms of, you know, kind of the power of what I celebrate about you and the power of questions. And as Rilke says, sort of live the question. It feels like what you're encouraging people to do, right?
Right.
Yeah. All right. I don't know how I'm going to put this all together into 28 minutes. But before I let you go, are you game for my big jar of wannabe analogies?
Come on. Okay. I've been waiting for this now.
All
Bring
right.
it on.
All right. All right. Mr. Connection. Here we go. Okay. Literal big jar, which is now full of slips of paper for my lovely listeners. And we're going to make analogies to curiosity with whatever I pull out here. And I have one for you, one for me, and one for the audience. Okay, yours is snowplow, mine is compass, And I have one for the audience as well. So you want to go first or you want me to go?
Definitely going to go first. Okay. I got to put the pressure on me. Curiosity is like a snowplow. Lots of different ways to go. Curiosity is like a snowplow. Okay, so here we go. So that snow is the world in which we think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And the snowplow comes and clears it away such that we can find what the truth is underneath it. Instead of just living life on our biases and what we assume to be, that snowplow will clear all that away so we can understand what's underneath.
Nice. Okay, compass. How is curiosity like a compass? So a compass is, you know, something you can keep in your pocket, but it's only useful if you take it out and you know how to read it.
Mm.
And I think curiosity can be like that sometimes. It sits in our pockets and it's not actually useful to us until we take it out and kind of learn how to read it. I think sometimes we're curious about things and we don't actually understand what that curiosity is or how to follow it.
Yeah.
And right. And so I think like learning to use a compass effectively, learning to use curiosity effectively can help us if and when we're lost, which we will inevitably be. So I'm going to say that's how curiosity is like a compass. And no. Audience, okay, yours is, how is curiosity like a Vespa scooter? Let me know, social media, hashtag analogy. How is curiosity like a Vespa scooter? Well, Ken, I am looking forward to many more conversations with you. How about we leave it there?
Amen to that.
You've been listening to Choose to be Curious. I'm your host, Lynn Borton. Thank you for joining us here today. You can find all my shows on my website at choosetobecurious.com. I hope you'll follow me here, there, and on social media at Choose to be Curious, where you can share your Vespa scooter analogy, hashtag analogy. Many thanks to my guest, Ken Woodward. Links to curated questions on my website. Thanks, too, to Sean Ballack for our theme music. And this is 4-Point Path by The Bulwark via Blue Dot Sessions. I hope you'll join us again next time. Until then, choose to be curious.